Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Take it away, Julie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Brain Lady Speaks podcast, live radio show most of the time. This is Julie Anderson, Brain Lady Anderson. As many of you know me, I am very excited to be on the program today. I'm going to give a little disclaimer right off the bat. It is allergies have begun, and so I have a little bit of congestion going on here and a little bit of a tickle in my throat. So if I have to mute myself momentarily, that is the reason why. I appreciate the patience with my listeners, but I didn't want to not do the program today because I am so excited because I love, as you know, I love talking to people about the brain. I love talking to people about everything connected to the brain and the brain personality connection. And this today is no exception. I am really excited about today because I have on online with me an absolutely amazing woman who is, I'm sorry, I've got some noise going on in the background. So I'm kind of like, where is that coming from? I have an amazing woman today that I am so happy to have on as a guest. She is a marriage and family therapist, but she gets into the brain. She gets into the brain on some of the things that, that are of great interest. And we'll talk about that this on this show, dealing with relationships. Now is a time. This is, you know, relationship month, right? It's February. So a lot of people are in that mindset or have on top of their mind or top of their thought process relationships and the relationships connected to significant others. So how much better to have on as an expert a marriage and family therapist. And this is a marriage and family therapist that also helps to deal with first responders and the spouses of first responders. So very excited to have her on the program today. Let me read you her bio real quick. And then we'll welcome to the show my guest. So our guest today is Audrey Shane. Audrey is a licensed marriage and family therapist that specializes in working with relationships. She provides counseling to individuals and couples, helping them to feel calm, connected, and content. Her style has been described as practical, straightforward, and interactive. As a law enforcement and military wife, she has a special interest in working with all types of first responder couples and partners. Audrey provides counseling online through video, allowing her to serve clients all over California. So, Audrey, welcome to the Brain Lady Speak show today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. So, if you listened to the Women Entrepreneur Show earlier or any other time, you will know that we also did a program with Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire. So, great content on that show as well. But we are going to get into even more fun content on this one because we're going to deal with the brain. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about managing conflicts in your relationship, specifically connected to how we have different preset wiring in our brain, what you refer to as, attachment issues, and how we can take that and twist it, how that might cause us to react a certain way within our relationships and how we can rewire our brain for a better connection with our significant other. Now, I always like starting out by asking our guests to briefly share with us what led you to this point in your life? What led you to become a marriage and family therapist? Why did that interest you?
Yeah, so it's funny. I was headed into college, and I said to my mom one day, I think I might want to be a counselor. And I love my mom, but and she actually doesn't remember saying this, but she said something like, well, why would you want to listen to people's problems all day? So I studied art for 2 years. but I found my way back to psychology. I thought it was just so interesting, and it kept calling to me. And then when I finished my undergrad, I decided to go ahead and do a master's in counseling psychology. And then when I sat down in front of my first live client, I had that feeling wash over me of this is what I was made for. This is what I was meant to be doing. And then as I moved through my career, and I worked with all kinds of different people, and I found myself really enjoying couples work. And I love couples work, particularly because when you have two people in the room, they kind of call each other out on stuff. And so you can't really hide behind your own perceptions as well. And I actually find that people tend to make progress quite quickly in couples counseling. So I really just enjoy the dynamics of couples in particular.
That's cool. It's watching people interact and studying people is a very, very interesting thing to do. And it's very rewarding when you can help them move past certain conflicts in their life. So what do you do in couples counseling, and how does that actually work?
Yeah, so when I'm working with couples or even individuals who are just struggling with their relationships, what I'm generally working with is attachment. And we're, as human beings, we're wired to connect. We're wired for connection from birth. It's how we survive, to connect. So what we do in counseling is we take the conflicts that are happening, and we identify patterns, both patterns within each person and patterns in the relationship that are contributing to the conflict and to the disconnection. Part of what we might also do is explore, you know, where did these patterns come from for each person, and how are their early childhood experiences contributing to these different patterns that they brought into this relationship? Now, that has everything to do with how our brains are wired by these early experiences. And fortunately and unfortunately, if we have a good caretaker early in life, then we tend to have positive experiences, and we tend to take those into positive relationships. But if we have what we call non-optimal experiences, then we take those maladaptive patterns, or, you know, not so great patterns, into our relationships moving forward. And those can really create some incredible conflicts.
And I think you really just hit on it there that there's going to be conflicts, right? It's
yeah.
You're wired one way, they're wired another way. They have, as I describe it, one brain personality connection. You have another brain personality connection. So at some point, there's going to be conflicts.
Yes.
So help
Absolutely.
Us with that.
Yeah, no relationship without conflict. Even the best relationships, you're going to disagree. You're going to come up against each other sometimes. And so it's not even so much about solving conflicts. It's about managing how you deal with them differently. The Gottman Institute actually estimates that somewhere between 40 and 60% of conflicts within couples are unsolvable. They don't have a solution per se. And so it isn't necessarily even realistic to think that we're going to solve all of our problems. But if we can learn to navigate them differently, manage them differently, we can actually use conflict as a way of bonding instead of feeling disconnected.
You know, I really appreciate that. I agree totally that there are just going to be some things that you're not going to agree on. That's just the way it is. You will see things from two different perspectives because your brains are wired differently, and not trying to get the other person to match your brain, it's counterproductive to a happy relationship. It just doesn't
Absolutely.
Work. And as in your work, I'm sure you found that as you've already spoken about this, that this is started at birth, right? So let's dig into that a little bit, because the brain of a child, the brain of a baby, actually the brain of the developing child in the womb is even affected by this. But those first few years, those first 5 years are so critical to how that brain becomes wired. So talk to us a little bit about that and how that affects your perceptions and your relationships.
Yeah, so the foundation of our perceptions, especially with regard to relationships, is completely dependent on these early experiences. The part of the brain that deals with this attachment piece is literally wired by the interactions that you have with your caregivers. It is interaction dependent. And these pathways of attachment, they actually stabilize between 12 and 18 months of age. So up to 5 years, yeah, matters, but your actual attachment framework, the thing that you're going to carry into adulthood, how you relate to other human beings throughout your entire life, forms between ages 12 months and 18 months. This actually happens before our cortex becomes fully conscious. And what I mean by that is that our cortex develops the ability to consciously filter our experiences somewhere around ages 2.5 to 3. So you are developing these patterns of attachment in your brain, in your deep brain, before you have the choice of how to understand them. It's pre-choice. That means this is all outside of our conscious awareness, and that these rules, even in adulthood, they operate outside of our conscious awareness.
Myself on mute, so I wasn't coughing. That is so important for people to understand, because this helps us to realize why we react on an impulse instantly, because that's where the deep wiring has been set, goes way, way back there. And keep in mind, listeners, that our action portion of our brain, that subconscious, that automatic reaction part, functions like 100 times faster than our thinking brain. So we'll react sometimes before we even know what we're reacting to or why we're reacting that way. So let's talk about the amygdala for a little bit, because people have heard me on the talk about the amygdala before, but help kind of expand on that for our listeners and how this impression, this wiring that takes place in that early stage is connected to the amygdala.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, that while the amygdala is considered the fear center of the brain, it also is the place that houses our early attachment memories and these rules, a lot of these rules for attachment and relationships. So in a weird way, our bonding and attachment and safety is totally linked with our fear response, which actually makes a lot of sense, right? So our safety response and our fear response are housed in the same boat. And that safety place, that attachment place, it's operating below the level of the cortex, right? So it's kind of like that stick you think is a snake, you get scared before you realize it's a stick. That's actually happening in our relationships too. So when we encounter a relationship that feels dangerous, our amygdala is actually reacting before our conscious brain says, ooh, that didn't feel good. We actually feel the fear of disconnection, the fear of rejection, and the fear of loneliness and in tribal times, death, because disconnection meant that you weren't going to survive. Before we recognize that, oh, what that person said hit me wrong or didn't feel right, or why do I feel weird right now?
That is so, so accurate. And when we are able to make those connections, that's when things start to become a safer place for us. When we stop and analyze, why did I just react this way? What is my brain trying to tell us? So how do you see that manifest itself within the relationships between spouses or significant others?
Yeah, so the thing about these attachments, because these attachment patterns are unconscious, they tend to be self-reinforcing. So in a relationship, what tends to happen is if we have not so great adaptive patterns and not so great attachment styles, then we tend to reenact those in our relationships. And because we reenact them, we get feedback about how relationships are unsafe and they're dangerous, which then reinforces our core belief that relationships are unsafe and dangerous, and therefore I can't trust people at a deep level. And then it cyclically reinforces that. And it causes us to actually retreat or attack in those moments, that fight or flight. It literally, emotionally, it's emotional fight and flight. When we have secure attachment relationships and we feel safe in relationships, that lights up the part of our brain that's with safety. It keeps our cortex operational. It keeps our amygdala calm. And it actually allows us to move closer and closer to connection and vulnerability, which then reinforces that relationships are safe and that I can trust people. So unfortunately, these things are self-reinforcing. And so unless we take that conscious step to open ourselves up to our own patterns and to our own fears, it's really unlikely to change on its own.
Yeah, so true. And it's important for people to understand when we are having, and this is something I, doctor, take your own medicine, you know, I have to listen to this all the time in myself. When we react, it's always so easy to look at the other person and say, they should not have acted this way. They should not have said what they said. They should not have done what they did. And yet oftentimes it's my brain reacting in an unequal way to what just happened. In other words, overreacting, right? Overly emotional. So as someone says something, you feel like they're attacking you, but it was never anywhere close to that. At all.
Yeah, it triggers some sort of deep emotional fear of disconnection, which then pushes us towards defensiveness and fear.
So with this, you know what? I think what we're going to do real quick is we're going to cut out. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a break. We're going to do a real quick commercial, and then we're going to come back and we're going to do the. So now we know what's going on, what's happening, why it's happening. We're going to come back and talk about what you can do about it. Right after the tunes on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Hey, everyone. This is Julie Brain Lady Anderson, and I want to talk to you about something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the Your Best Mind certification program. With this program, we are changing lives one brain at a time. You see, it's our vision that by providing an educational and uplifting message to individuals about their unique brain gifts, we can help them to maximize the power of their brain and personality, not in a metaphysical way, but with science, neuroscience. And that's the core of what we teach at Your Best Mind. However, taking this life-changing message to the world is a very large undertaking. That's why we created the Your Best Mind certification program. This program is a compilation of over two decades of training, research, hands-on application, and preparation by yours truly, Julie Brain Lady Anderson. I'm the owner, founder, and CEO, and I have put together the gems of my education to create a remarkable program to pass on to those who are up for the challenge. So if you're up for the challenge and you would like to help me change the world for the better, one brain at a time, shoot me an email at info@yourbestmindonline.com and we'll start the conversation.
Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show with Julie Anderson. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. I am here with marriage and family, a licensed marriage and family therapist, Audrey Shane, and we have had an amazing brain conversation about the triggers, what happens in by the attachment, how the attachment is formed early in birth or early in life to different situations, different feelings, different emotions, and how that rears its nasty little head in our relationships, engaging the amygdala, engaging the fight and flight, the conserve withdraw response, so it can cause a wreak havoc in our relationships. But there is something we can do. We can rewire our brain. The brain is beautifully malleable, and when we're able to address this happening in our life, we can change it for the better. So take us through this, Audrey. How are some ways that you can navigate this conflict interaction better and kind of rewire around that original attachment that you have in your brain?
Yeah. So that is the cool part. Not, I wouldn't do what I did if I didn't think that we could make that change, right? So a big piece of this is helping partners or individuals recognize their interaction patterns and helping them understand and actually identify the pattern in the moment. So when a couple gets into this pursuer, withdrawer, blamer, attacker situation, for them to actually be able to say out loud, oh, we're doing that thing again. We're doing that thing where you withdraw and I pursue and then get really upset and then we both feel terrible. How about we try not to do that? And so that's one of the first steps that we can do, is to help the couple actually identify the cycle as the problem, not necessarily them as the problem. From there, it frees them up to start taking different steps, because they're no longer the problem, right? So now their task is to work together to break this cycle instead of fix the problem, which feels a lot more doable. So from there, some of the really concrete things that I like to help clients with is, first one is taking breaks and self-soothing. So, the Gottman Institute did a really fantastic study where they had couples come in and they had them talk about something that was upsetting and conflictual. And once their heart rates reached 100 beats per minute, they would come in and say, oh, we're having some problems with the equipment. We need to take a short break. While we're taking the break to fix that, grab a magazine, but just, you can't talk to each other. Just grab a magazine, read a magazine, do whatever you need to do. They would break for about 20 minutes, and then they would say, okay, we're good now, go ahead and resume. And they found that people spoke much more calmly. They were able to empathize with each other. They were able, the conversation was night and day. So being able to take breaks when you feel your heart rate going up or when you're feeling a little overwhelmed is super, super important. The alternative to a break is that if it's safe and if both people agree, a full 20 seconds of full body contact hug actually releases oxytocin. And so that can start to trigger some of the bonding and empathy stuff in the brain, so that that can bring you guys back down to a place where you can speak in a less conflictual way.
Love it. I love that oxytocin.
Yeah, I know.
For
that's
those
great
of
stuff,
you,
isn't it?
Yeah, background on oxytocin, that's your bonding hormone that's released in the brain. It's released when a mother is nursing her baby. It is released in this full body hug. It's actually what is, side point, released in a woman's brain at climax during sexual encounter. So it's mm-hmm. it's a great bonding hormone that's mm-hmm. very healthy for relationships. Okay. That was my sidebar. Okay. Let's go back. Continue.
So the next one, I love the Gottman stuff because they offer a lot of really concrete stuff. So this is a Gottman piece. They call it soft startups. And then I also add transparency to that. So if you're wanting to have a difficult conversation or if you're anxious about saying something or not sure how to approach a situation, say so. Hey, I'm kind of anxious to talk to you about this because I don't know how it's going to go. Here's the thing I'm thinking about. That actually puts the other person in a place to receive you better and puts them in a more empathetic place rather than just kind of bombarding them with whatever you're about to say. And maybe they weren't prepared for it. So it gives them a moment to prepare mentally for something that might be difficult to hear or difficult to talk about.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It works beautifully. I cannot tell you how well that works.
And I tell my women also, and another good thing to realize is the mindset of a male brain. Mm-hmm. If in that preface you can say the words, I need your help with, men,
yep.
Their brains automatically want to be the savior. They want to be able to help. So if you're saying, I'm having difficulty with this situation, I'm feeling anxious, I need your help, that's going to make them feel even more open to listening to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah. So the next piece is the idea of choosing de-escalation. Sometimes someone will say to me, well, they said something mean and I couldn't just let it lie. And I'm like, okay, but does that mean you have to be mean too? Who want to be here? And so, think about, is the next thing I'm going to say make this better or worse? If I heard someone say that to me, would it make me more angry or less? Taking responsibility for your own contribution to the conflict. The other piece of that is how disarming would it be if you're in a fight for someone to say, I don't want to fight about this. I really want to hear what you have to say, and I'm really having a hard time doing that right now because I'm feeling upset too. Like, how disarming would that be?
Totally. Love it.
So another one is practicing self-awareness. So mindfulness practices and internal attunement, attuning to your own process internally, actually strengthens the functions of your prefrontal cortex. So you can actually improve how your prefrontal cortex operates by being mindful and practicing being aware of your own experience. The upshot of this in relationships is that when you are practicing being self-attuned, you actually get better at being other-attuned. And attunement is one of the number one predictors of bonding and attachment. So when you have a partner that's attuned to you, you tend to feel close to them, heard, understood, and loved by them. And when you can give attunement to another person, they feel those same things too.
Yeah, totally. I love that. Great point.
Yeah. So it really starts with you being able to do it for yourself and then being able to do it for others. Another big one is accepting, being open to influence. So this is a hard one because we like to think that our version of things is the correct version because it's true to us. What we forget is that their version of everything is true to them just as much as ours is true to us. And so it can be really hard when our versions of reality conflict. And then we kind of get this immediate, like, but I'm not wrong. It's like, well, you're not wrong. Your experience is valid. Their experience is valid. Somewhere between you is reality. How can you understand where they're coming from so that they can also understand where you're coming from? And how could you expect them to give you understanding if you're not willing to give it, if you're not willing to give it yourself?
I love that. When I talk to people about the brain personality connection, I always emphasize you've got to think receiver, not sender, when you're communicating. Because if you're constantly go ahead.
I was gonna say that actually is perfect into the next thing I was gonna say is listen. Like, really listen. Just turn off your internal monologue for a second. Set it aside. and hear the person. I mean, what harm could come of just hearing another human being's experience? And how great does it feel when somebody really listens to you, and what a gift that is to be able to give to somebody else. And it really opens them up to doing the same for you.
That's so true. And that's, we get so in our own mind, we get so in our own brain and our own thought process and our own wiring that we forget there's somebody else in this situation, and their brain is processing very differently than yours is. And that means that if you really want them to understand you, you have to get through to their brain, which means understanding where they're coming from. So beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you. And the really cool thing about this, kind of tying it back to like the rewiring piece, is that it's the experience of being truly heard, understood, and attuned to is what repairs your brain wiring. That is literally what rewires your brain. So when you have repeated experiences with somebody who is safe and loving, attuned, who listens and works to understand you, it literally rewires the deep part of your brain and changes how you perceive the world and relationships. And that can happen in a romantic relationship. It is essentially the foundation of why therapy works, and why therapy is effective, is that you have this positive regard relationship that helps to rewire the brain over time. It's just incredible.
I love it. I can definitely see why you enjoy doing what you're doing. Now, I have to pull this in because I want the listeners to know that this is something that you specialize in. We've talked a lot about that, the rewiring of the brain and the early childhood attachment to different things and situations and, you know, subconscious cues. But I love when you're dealing with what you specialize in, and what you specialize in is first responder couples and those individuals, that the spouses of the first responders. So give us a little bit of insight on how all of this works within that special situation, because they have dynamics in their relationship and they have circumstances in their relationship that are different than the average.
Absolutely. First responders are dealing with some really intense stuff when they are at work. And they're really required to turn off their attunement brain piece while they're at work. It would be overwhelming. They wouldn't be able to function if they didn't. So it's functional for their job. The challenge is that when they come home, they're often expected by their family members to just switch it back on. And that's really intense. That's really intensive, energy intensive. It's really difficult, especially when they only are going to be home for a few hours and they have to go right back to work the next day and work these long shifts. And so it can be really challenging for first responders to be in that place of attunement and be in that place of connection. And that might even be complicated with some early attachment experiences that were maybe less optimal for them on top of it. And so they rarely find themselves in a position to have these deep emotional connective experiences, because they're generally kind of like not a fun place to be. They're a little scary for them oftentimes. Unfortunately, that tends to leave the partners of first responders feeling kind of on their own. Feeling a little bit emotionally shut out. The other piece of what tends to build bonds is sharing about your day. And a lot of first responders don't tend to share much because they don't want to burden their family with the difficulties of their job. And so one of the things that I really try to help couples with, or to help these folks with, is how do you share without having to lay it all out? How do you let your partner know, here's how I'm doing, here's what I'm experiencing, to a point that they're comfortable sharing, so that their partner isn't in the dark? Because when you're a first responder partner, you're like, it's really hard. I know it's hard when my husband comes home from a really long shift and he seems distracted and he's kind of in his own space and maybe looking at his phone a lot or on his computer. I'm not sure if it's because he had a hard day or if because he still has to work or if because he's really excited about a new case, unless he tells me. And so the piece with the partners is really helping them to be able to approach their partner in a more curious way rather than a defensive way of like, you're always on your phone. You never pay attention at home. You're always distracted. And instead being like, you seem distracted. Is there something going on? Are you excited about something? Is there something you'd like to share with me? And just really being more curious and encouraging openness and communication in a way that's comfortable for both of them.
You know, I love that, the being curious and the asking the questions, because I often tell when I'm talking with couples, I emphasize that you have to understand the difference between a male brain and a female brain. And we, because of the way our brains are wired, we can talk about our emotions with a fair amount of ease for the most part, unless there's blockage there for some reason. Men, their main speech center is on the left side of their brain, and emotions, the more attachment to the limbic system, the emotion center in the brain, is more right brain activity. So they're not always going to have words that they can put to an emotion. They're not always going to be able to explain how they're feeling just based on their brain wiring. So by doing what you just said, showing curiosity and asking questions, it takes pressure off of them to have to explain something to you in a big way that you want, when they just don't have the, especially if their brain's tired from whatever they've experienced during that day. So great advice.
Yeah.
Great advice. And I do have to mention to everyone, if you are experiencing something or, you know, you're having immediate issues, please always seek help. Talk with your, if you've listened to something on the Brain Lady Speak show and you're like, that's really good, I wonder if it'd work for me. If you're under the care of a therapist or a doctor, always discuss it with your therapist or doctor first. And if you don't have a marriage family therapist and you would like to talk to Audrey, then guess what? You can go straight to her website, Audrey, I get this right here, it is Audrey LMFT.com to be able to connect with her. You can shoot her an email at info@AudreyLMFT. mouthful.com. You can follow her on her Facebook page at AudreyLMFT. So lots of different ways to stay connected with Audrey. If you are offline, I mentioned on our other program that we did together that we met through a networking group, and I just really love her dynamics. I love what she shares. She probably has a lot of advice for you moms of twins as well, because she is a mom of what, they're 2 years old now?
They're almost a year and a half now. Yeah.
Oh, almost a year and a half. Almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
So she's got, I'm sure she's got some great things to talk about with that as well. But if you are in a relationship with a first responder, or you are a first responder who is in a relationship and you'd like to connect more with Audrey, those are the ways to do it. Now, I've also, all of her, that information will be on the show page for the Brain Lady Speak show for today. And that will be your way that you can connect with her. She does Facebook Live videos that shares lots of tips. So there's great, great resource to connect with. Audrey, I have so enjoyed talking this stuff with you today. Love talking neuroscience and how you could practically apply what's coming out of the field of neuroscience to have a better life and better relationships. So thank you so much for being on the program.
Oh, it's a blast. I just love brain stuff. I love bringing brain stuff into my work. So I'm super excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. My pleasure. All right. And for those of you who want to stay connected with me, Brain Lady Julie, you can follow me. You can follow my Facebook page, which is Purple Brain Lady. You can follow the business page on Facebook, which is Your Best Mind Online. On Twitter, I am at Brain Lady. LinkedIn, I am Brain Lady Julie. Instagram, I am Brain Lady Julie. YouTube, I am Julie Brain Lady Anderson, or Your Best Mind. You can find me all over the place. My main business site for any of the products and services isyourbestmindonline.com. If you go visit that today, be patient with us. We are in a mass remodel of that particular site to make it much easier for you to connect with the with me and the products and services and the Your Best Mind certification program, or the highly most comprehensive personality profiling assessment tool, the Brain Personality Connection Assessment. All of that is available there on that site. If you are if you'd like to have the Brain Lady come in and speak at one of your events or for your company or your corporation, you can go to brainladyspeaker.com. That's my speaker specific site for any meeting planners. That's a great way to see a lot of the topics that we talk on. And all of those links, of course, are on the show page. If you have a great idea or you have some great feedback or you have something you want to share with me, send me an email at info@brainladyspeaker.com. If you are interested in that personality assessment or in the Brain Personality Connection certification program, shoot me an email at info@yourbestmindonline.com. All right, those are the ways to stay connected with me. If you liked this program, show us some social media love. Share us on Facebook, Twitter, or any of your outlets that you share it on. Give us a thumbs up, give us a like, give us a follow, and we will continue to share amazing information with you in the coming out of the field of neuroscience to improve your life, your business, and your relationships. All right, that is all for today on this absolutely beautiful, beautiful day here in Northern California. Thank you so much for taking your time to spend with Audrey and I. Hopefully this information has been beneficial to you and you will find it a little tidbit that you can apply in your life. All right, until next week, everybody.
For tuning in to
simply
this
enjoy
Brain Lady Speaks with
every
Julie
moment.
Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, every week, she is here to bring that change to you. Julie often tells people that their greatest asset is not their stock portfolio, not their real estate holdings, or even their retirement account. No, it's what you were naturally born with, your brain. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, the sky is never the limit. As a matter of fact, there is no limit. Be sure to tune in to The Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson next week and every week, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you next time, everybody.